I've bought a lot of houses, but you know what makes me even happier than all of my properties, my hotels, is the people that I've mentored that have gone on to do the same. Recently, I hired a whole minibus and took a bunch of my Caddy members out for 3 days and showed them all of my houses, my properties, my developments. And the interesting thing is, at the end of the 3 days, I was chatting with all the Academy members. There was about 25 of them. And they had all done the same. They all owned houses all up the country. And I said, you know what? We've just done a documentary on me and all my portfolio. We could literally do a documentary on every one of you. And guess what? That's exactly what we did. So starting with Narelle. Narelle was a lorry driver and now she's a property millionaire. She's got houses all up and down the country. And this is a documentary, not just about her success, but also about the failures, the struggles, the challenges. This is as real as it gets. So kick back, enjoy this short documentary showing the pitfalls and the wins, the nitty gritty of Narelle's property million-pound empire.
Welcome to my pub. This was one of my first projects, but it's the most exciting for sure, because obviously it was the first time we went through planning. It was the first time, well, we learned so much. This one's a 12-bed, 12-en-suite HMO. The way I found this property was I used to drive lorries, so I was used to drive back and forth up this valley. I saw the sign there for ages, and I never really thought much into it, but once I'd learned what I learned from Sandra Leeds, obviously I was like, ooh, maybe I should have a look. So I was a HGV driver. I had no money. My daughter was in nursery, which cost me 950 quid a month, full Monday to Friday. And I was earning maybe one, two. I've always been business-minded. I used to train when I was 19 under Peter Jones in his academy. So he's a massive tycoon, and it was one of the best years of my life. And then when I came back, I was in like a negative environment again, because it was all small-minded people in a small town, and it all just went, all the positivity and all the success of that year just went. I came to a viewing and they managed to convince the owners to give me a delayed completion, which is ideal for any property where you've got to go through planning. It was supposed to be a 3-month delayed completion, which isn't that long, but it ended up going for about 8 months. And that was just because the solicitors weren't communicating very well, which worked in my favour. And then we ended up completing on it just maybe 2 months before getting full planning granted. Lorry driver sucks because like you're just one in 100. You're like a number to them. Do you know what I mean? They don't care about you. And my brother had been doing it for 15 years by this point. He's done some property flips before, so I just thought, screw it, quit and come and work with me. Like we'll do it as like a family empire. Next thing you know, we're 2 years down the line and he's been with me pretty much the whole time. All of this side of the bar, it becomes like a big living room and dining room. And then through here, we've got the toilet block, which funnily enough is going to become the kitchen, which is a bit disgusting if you think about it too long. There's gonna be like 3 hobs, 3 ovens, 3 fridge freezers, everything. We've got a couple of extra bathrooms that we're putting in case somebody's en suite goes down. We've also got a second kitchen on the third floor. So I actually started uni super late. I was about 24. I did animal husbandry and welfare, which is basically animal biology. And that obviously my life, I went for passion rather than money, so it was always going to be business or animals for me, and I just went down the animal route. That's my why, essentially. I want to be super rich. I want to be a multimillionaire or whatever. But the reason for that is because I want to open a primate rehabilitation centre in southern Spain. And I don't want guests there. I don't want it to be like a zoo, but that costs a lot of money. And if I don't want guests there and stuff, I'm going to have to fund it. So I need a lot of backing. And then the other thing is parking. So we needed parking on this property. Obviously, once we did get planning across the line, I was like, great, we can get going, we'll start the build, everything's lovely. And then my architect was like, oh, we've got to discharge these conditions. I was like, oh, okay. That took another 5 months. And then at the same time, we had an S106 contribution, which I was unaware of. S106 is just a contribution to the council that they make you do for having the planning granted and whatnot. So we've got a bus stop directly out front here. What they've asked me to pay for is a shelter. I'm not too sure why, because it's already pulled in, but it costs £3,000. And then I was like, okay, so I emailed him straight after the committee meeting. I said, oh, where do you want me to send the £3,000 to? And he said, oh, no, it's got to go through solicitors. So I paid my solicitor £2,000. I paid their solicitors £2,000. So it basically cost me, I think in the end, it cost me about £5,000 total. We purchased it for £110,000. We've got a fixed price contract for £261,000, which is incredible. That's all in fixed price contracts. So what that means is, say the roof fell off, they'd have to fix that and put it right. So fixed price contract is really what you want, ideally. And then the GDV on a commercial valuation, we're looking at 600 plus. So when you take in professional fees, everything else, we're refinancing and pulling out about £50,000. And then obviously we're going to be making, on average, about £5,500 a month net. My daughter's a big driving factor for wanting better and wanting a better life. She was a big catalyst for that, because rather than it just being a pipe dream sort of thing, it was more like, okay, well, this has to happen. I don't get like the grandiose feelings, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't get overwhelmed by big stuff or big numbers or big projects. I'm just one of those people that would just take the action, get on with it and just run with it. When you're an entrepreneur, you take risks anyway, right? Educated risks, granted, calculated risks, yeah. But failing is a massive part of being an entrepreneur. You can't learn anything unless you fail. So you're going to, even if I triumphantly failed, couldn't pay any of my investors back and was on my ass and I went bankrupt or whatever, I'd come back. Look at that. That's for sale. Was that like a social club or something? It's Watson Morgan, but they're like my least favourite agents in this area, because they caused us a problem on a different one. They were just being funny about the proof of funds, and we'd sent the proof of funds, but it wasn't good enough proof of funds. I was like, it's a bank statement, what more do you want? I don't really understand. And then, so we ended up just walking away from the deal. I just thought, screw you. But they always, like, every now and then I'll see something and it's with them, and I'm like, damn it, I have to ring them. Because look, it's all bouldered off. If I could see the full name of it, I could do some digging and get on the title registry. That's the sort of thing I'll do, see. If I see something completely dilapidated, I'll try and find it on land registry, buy the title deeds, and then track them down. It's right on the waterfront, though, isn't it? I'm the youngest, so the middle brother, it was his birthday coming up, and he kept mentioning Samuel Leeds, and I was like, who the hell's Samuel Leeds? So I looked him up, ended up watching Evans's Freedom Challenge and all that stuff, and then it said get the £1 crash course ticket. So I ended up paying £2, booking him a day off with his boss, and taking him down there as a surprise. And then by the end of it, obviously, I'm signing up. So this is Quella House in Bridgend. It was an 8-bed manor house, but it was completely derelict when we got it. We're keeping it as an 8-bed. We're turning it into a very luxury holiday let. This hasn't gone to plan. This has been one of our biggest challenges in terms of any developments we've had. So let me show you around. The original plan with this one, we were working with an assisted living provider and we had a contract with them and everything. We were going to turn it into a 16-bed. We didn't do that because they just stopped talking to us. They didn't come back to with the finishing spec, and that was 3 months in, and we're 3 months into a bridge, right? They set us back, and we panicked and we're like, well, we need to just renovate it and get it done. I've had to make so many sacrifices for the business. Less time with my daughter. Like, I get so much less time than most people, but obviously I'm a single parent as well, so that doesn't help. Once, I said, oh, mummy's got to go to an event or something, I'll see you tomorrow. And she went, oh, and I was like, you all right? She went, are you going to make money? And I was like, yeah, probably. And she was like, all right then. Because I say to her all the time, like, I took her to the circus, and she said, oh, I want to be in the circus. And I said, you're not going to be in the circus. I said, you'll own a circus. I was like, whatever it is will be yours. So in here, we've had all the plastering done. Obviously, all the first fix electrics and plumbing have gone in. We're going to have a massive, big 10-person dining table here and make this the hub of the house, as it were, and you've got two reception rooms off. So we paid £240,000 for this post-auction, and then the refurb, we budgeted for £140,000. And then we had a single tender contractor that came in a lot cheaper than that, which was good, so we thought. Single tender is where everyone's in-house, so they're all in the same company. There's normally a project manager that comes with that from the company, so it's normally all taken care of, and it makes it so much easier for us as developers. It should have been an easier process. Obviously, they were inexperienced. They did everything wrong. They were delayed. They weren't coming in. Every time they did something, it was like not what we'd asked for. So it was, yeah, it was awful. It was awful. Hey, bud, you all right? So how's it all going then? How long do you reckon the plastering will be now?
Yeah, tomorrow will be done now.
Oh, perfect. All right. So will that include the stairs? Really? The hallway bit?
Underneath the stairs and they're going up.
Oh, that's brilliant. You lot smashed it. Like, you've come in, you, like all of you, because there's so many of you, you've come in and you saved the day, really. the new builders we've got in aren't single tender. We've bought in loads of individual trades to keep the cost down. So as you can see, this floor has pretty much been painted. Everything's looking good. You can see these luxury rooms. It would have been perfect for the assisted living provider had it gone to plan. So the single tender contractor had over 6 months in here, and that's more than enough time to get this project done. But they just didn't. It was always a delay, there was always an excuse. So that put us back with the bridge, because the bridge was only a 12-month term, right? So we've managed to smooth it over with the lender and basically get an extension, but it's a short extension with a very set deadline, and we're now just creeping into over that line now. And as you can see, we're not close as I'd like us to be for the position we're in. We will be refinancing this property. The GDV will be 500 plus. We were expecting 550. Just because of the sheer size of it, the land, we'll refinance it. We'll pull all our money back out, plus about 30, maybe 40 grand. And then, we'll just rent it out as a holiday let. So obviously it's been a bit of a problem, but it's not the end of the world in terms of coming to the end of the bridge. It will cost us a lot of money, but obviously there's still money coming out on the back end, and we'll still make great cash flow from this unit.
Wow, congratulations. Do you know how big the house is in square feet?
Yeah, it's about 1,551.
How much was this kitchen and where did you get it from?
This kitchen was priced initially at 6,900 with Howdens, but I got 2 grand knocked off that, so I ended up paying about 4,500.
How?
I went to B&Q. B&Q previously didn't have the green, so I ended up getting it done there.
So you got this
came
for like,
back to them and I got the difference.
You got this for like four and a half grand,
yeah.
It's a good sized kitchen, isn't it?
We've got 4 bedrooms, all double.
So you bought it for 425.
425, yeah.
And how much have you spent then in total? Like, how much even this sort of room, like carpets?
Yeah.
Presumably you've had to plaster it.
Obviously we did brand new heating system, all new pipework. That was 10 grand just for the heating
system.
Just
for the heating?
Well, that was the heating, the radiators, the bathroom fitting, all the plumbing aspects.
Still though, that's a lot of money.
Still a chunk, yeah.
And it's money that you can't see. With plastering and carpets and paint, it's very visual.
Yeah,
with things
yeah.
like the electric. What about the
electric? The electrics were up to code actually, so they were all good. So what we did have to do, we put loads of extra sockets in, we had all the spotlights put in, we had to chase the walls and things like that. So it was a bit labor intensive, but it wasn't massive.
Call this one the beach house because the beach is that way, literally behind these houses. And we're going to run this one as a big holiday let, so it's going to be one of the most luxury properties we've got as well. So I'm super excited about this one. We picked it up for steal. Now this property was actually converted into 2 flats without getting planning permission. So what we're doing is putting it back to 1 big luxury house. So I'll show you the dry rot first, get it out of the way. Take a look at that. It's exciting.
Oh my days.
So it gets worse. Every time I come here, it's worse and worse. Originally, none of this mushroom stuff was here. It was the black spindles. I know a lot about damp. I know a lot about mold. I know which ones are bad and which ones are good. But I'd never seen this before. So I took loads of photos straight off the bat, straight to my surveyor, architects, anyone that I thought might know. And they all came back to me, the same thing as dry rot. Then we got a damp and timber specialist come in here and give us the report and how much he thinks it'll cost to fix. So we did that pretty quickly. And we also got 10 grand knocked off the price as well for that. So we bought this property for 170,000. It was sourced by 2 boys, local boys, that are also on the academy, Ruben and Travis. They negotiated 180,000 and I got it down to 170 because of all the dry rot and whatnot. The refurb on this, we've got that down to 100 as well, but that is because the builders wanted the pub. So it's 100 grand build and then the end value is gonna be 450,000. So the profit on this property, if we were to sell, is 180,000. Because we're not selling, we're refinancing, so it'll be 67,500 on the refinance, which is a little bit mental. Setting up the primate rehabilitation centre has always been my goal and my mission. But in my mind, I keep thinking, like, what would make me stop property now? What would make me stop building and continuing to be an entrepreneur? And the answer is probably nothing. So if I keep going on that, then I'm never actually going to get to work in the centre that I wanted to build for myself. Do you know what I mean? I always wanted to work there. That was part of it. I wanted to, like, surround myself with animals. But realistically, do I think I'll stop to do that? Or will I just hire people now? Probably just hire people. Because I want to keep doing what I'm doing and building and growing. So obviously big sitting room, got loads of damp and cracks, and it is one of the worst ones we've got. So this will just be a standard double. You can see the dry rot starting to come up through the floor. This is above the dry rot room. This room, you see these massive cracking. I thought the bay window was falling off. I thought the whole bay was coming down.
As soon as I saw the cracking, that was instant. I knew I needed a structural surveyor, so I got that before we purchased. So I've got a brilliant surveyor in Cardiff. Like, we've got a good working relationship now. I've known him for so long. He just, if he thinks it's an absolute dog, he'll tell me outright. He won't even write me up a report. He'll actually charge me less. He'll just give me a verbal, don't buy it. When you get to that point where people are just like advising you like that, not charging you out the bum for it, that's the best. Like, I know I can send an auction pack to my solicitor and he'll read it for me. I don't need to pay him for that because he knows if I buy it, I'm going through him. So he's gonna get the business regardless. Can see that there's loads of damp. We need repointing on the outside. They've obviously plastered this and it's just crumbling off. It's never dried. So we've got loads of work to do on the externals of this building as well, but we got it for so cheap. And we've got the refurb on a fixed price contract with the same contractors as the pub. So we'll be working with them now going forward, probably on everything. Samuel Leeds Academy personally has like opened me up to my pros but also my cons. Some of the good things that I've learned about myself, which I think I didn't know before, is I'm really good at retaining information. So like he'd say it and I would just go and do it. And that's come from being around good people. Samuel's super practical in his training. So what he'll do is he'll teach you a little bit and then he'll say, go and do it. That makes it so much easier. Like getting on the phones, in the thing. He'll give you a break. You'll go off on the break with a challenge to see how many deals you can get or see how many viewings you can book or whatever it may be. So it's way more practical, which works for a lot of people. The Academy has like changed my life from the day I set foot in there. Like just surrounding yourself with the right people is a huge step. You can't buy that. Well, you can. It costs 12 grand.